discussion. As you all recall, at the January board meeting, I gave an update on the outcomes of the visioning and planning work that I facilitated with help from Gene Crumley from UC Davis, with all of our staff's participation. It's led to some very exciting new sense of purpose among our office, with the new vision statement, with the five strategic initiatives. When I presented to all of you at the January board meeting, several of you requested that we have an opportunity for the board to then weigh in on strategic directions. And so the purpose, in talking with John, we decided to do this in a two-phased process, today being the phase one. And it's just to brainstorm and get your input on categories of issues that you would like us to consider in a future strategic planning session. And by getting your input today, it'll help me to think about how best to set up a framework to be most effective for that future discussion. So the purpose of today is to just hear from you. What are the categories of issues that you'd like us to think about as we do some strategic planning?
Maybe start off with Valerie if you have any ideas, and then we'll call it back. It's not a one-time through. It's a okay. Board Member Norn.
Okay, well, we had the opportunity, or I had the opportunity, I should say, when Jeff Hales was chair, Kat and I went up specifically. We just took off and went and saw Jeff, and we sat around for a day and talked about all kinds of stuff, and we did it kind of free form. The one thing that I think is that if we talk as a board, we're always subject to Bagley Keene and open meeting requirements, which is fine. That's the world we live in. In the instance with Kat and Jeff and I, we just kind of talked about everything over a day's period of time, a day and a half, I guess it was. And it was really super helpful because the chair actually has a lot of work to do to set the, you know, you do a lot of work on the front end. You interact with state board a lot. You then come back and interact with the EO. It's really an unspoken job and a kind of, you know, you're doing a lot of stuff. And it's, John, you've done a great job, and Jeff did a great job, and you know, everybody before. It's really a big thing. And I think, you know, the chair has an extraordinary piece of that. I think there's value in the chair and the vice chair, assuming the vice chair then follows the chair at some point, to get engaged at that level and to then take forward and do some strategic planning that could be done it at that level in somewhat of a private setting to set some agenda things. I think for me personally, you know, we seem to be embarking as an agency to bring it back to a full board discussion on going forward in a new world under new organization. I'm very interested in the groundwater protection policy. The policy stuff that we've done in the last year or two, the temperature policy, I think is going to be enormous. It already is enormously powerful. Some of the things that we've done on that level, and I think the groundwater protection policy is going to be the exact same kind of animal. It's going to be hard to do. I think that when we know we've got a steep curve coming, I think we need to have some basis of understanding going into it, besides briefing sometimes, that we can better understand it. And I think strategically get a strategic foothold in place. My interest is kind of more on the policy level stuff as we develop things. To me, the permits and things that we run in through are pretty routine. Some of the big five-year items that we have coming, whether they be a TMDL renewal or something like a big timber permit or something like that, are harder. And it would be nice to actually gun this up and think about this not as a one-off, but maybe as an annual thing. And if we see things coming, we might want to have a strategic session then that collectively gets our brain power and experience together so that we could kind of plan for what's coming. I think the one thing that we absolutely benefit from as individuals up here is the collaboration and what individuals bring then, including staff and including everybody else in this mix of what then our outcomes are. I think we do our best work when we collaborate. And I think that this should be an annual thing. I think we ought to consider what's coming to agendize annual things or big ticket items that we see that either in individual or collectively we have of importance. I'd start with that.
First, I wanted to say every book I've read and my personal experience on strategic planning, if it's going to work, it can't be all staff, can't be all board. We need top staff involved. I'm a capital D Democrat, so I don't mind discussing strategic planning in public. We did one quite some time ago, probably predating a lot of the boards. We scheduled it in Mendocino, and I think someone wandered in, wanted to talk about birds for 3 minutes, and then they were very bored with our discussion and left. We had no one there, so I think that's an ideal site for maximum privacy. But I really think we can discuss this stuff. I wanted to say, I want one is to be the relationship with the State Water Resource Control Board. We've undergone a fundamental change in the state board's attitude to the regional board, and it's changed the dynamics of the board relationship with our executive director and with staff. And what happened, the worst was Art Baggett, who hated regional boards. I mean, he just did. So he tended to minimize everything, and everything was always sort of sneaking around that to get our policies through. We're in an era now where they're listening to regional boards, I think, more than they ever have. Mm-hmm. That's a tremendous net plus, and I think the state board's innovating faster. They're taking into account rural better than they ever have. But the problem is, and I've talked to a state board member, and they have had the same problem. If the state board staff cooks it in the oven and the regional board cooks it in the oven together, then the boards sort of get left out. And so how we want to approach it, I don't have a total brainstorm, but I do think we need to discuss board staff roles in the new era of the state board welcoming regional board staff. Because it's a different dynamic. We need to find the best way to adjust. It's a good thing. But like all good things, it causes a disturbance. So that's one topic I'd like. Second of all, I do think, whether you want to call it regulatory burden or coordinating with other state agencies, we ought to discuss some areas we can streamline the permit process. And so I hope I don't get hung in the morning on this, but I think we ought to have a pilot project with the Board of Forestry for some type of regional board conditional waiver to the Board of Forestry equating forest practice rules to BMP in a 3-year pilot project for non-impaired watersheds, and we have to maintain our veto power. We have to maintain a 13.267 monitoring powers. We have to maintain it's a privilege, not a right, and we ought to go for fairly small scope, because what I've seen historically, whenever one side wants it all one way, it blows up 30 seconds later. And I think the state board is prepped for us to do it if we're professional about it. And it seems to me there's got to be some level of THPs that we don't have to personally inspect, and just have a streamlined process. Do it for 3 years, see what happens. The second one is, and we may need to get a target, and we may want to do it with Fish and Game, we may want to do it with a private company, is a very limited programmatic 401 approval from our standpoint tied to some overall plan, probably an HCP, very similar to what was considered in Siskiyou County before it blew up for internal local reasons. But we were very close to having a single application for a stream bed alteration permit to a 401 permit, and having a common set of criteria for evaluating them, and ergo an expedited process that was very stakeholder friendly. So I would like us to discuss, do we want to do that? And then I do think groundwater, it's already been stated, we need to discuss groundwater and global warming. So that's what I would like on the agenda. And some of these are going to be a little touchy-feely, because we have to be very careful, very, very careful. But I don't want fear to govern our actions. I want us to go, how can we better improve government and water quality's effectiveness? And from my standpoint, if we got out of the, let's say, the bottom 5% tier of THPs, to take a very modest goal, then we got more staff to deal with the ones that are more important. Just trying to focus in where do we really want to allocate our staff. So that's me. Board Member Massey.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, are we on and we need to be? Okay. I think one of the interesting things is that having the length of tenure I do, when I first got to be the chair, we had a chair's meeting in Sacramento once a quarter. And then when Tam Doduck got to be the chair, she turned it into what you guys have experienced, which is a once-a-month telephone call. Mm-hmm. And it tightened up the communication. It gave us an opportunity to get much closer communication in that process. In continuing that communication theme, Kat started the idea of briefings, which have been just immensely helpful. Mm-hmm. It prevents looking dumb on both sides of the dais, because you understand and you get the chance to ask questions in the void you can ask a dumb question and get away with it. So that has aided it. We have come a long ways technologically in terms of communication. I mean, it used to be I had the technology of a flip phone, and you guys now can get the weather in Bangladesh if you want. Those things, I think, need to be. Did you want to know?
I told you 46 degrees.
All right.
Mr. Massey needed that information.
I did. If I flew there, I would. But the point is that I think this communication is wonderful, but there comes a certain point at which you can get an information overload. We might want to think about how we use that, just in terms of not who we share it with, but how do we use that communication, that technology. Looking at the GIS stuff, I think there's a possibility of a real overload in terms of getting it. Certainly when you turn Mr. Puget loose and he gives you a 6 million pound book, that's overload. So it's just squaring the human with the logistics of communication. I agree with John. We are being asked to do more with less in many respects, because our budget is now fee and fine driven. And the idea of third-party certifications, that we don't have to actually go do those things. Is there a way that we can do this? Possibly GIS can tell you what they're doing in an auto dismantling place in Eureka. That may well give us an ability. But third-party certifications, I think that we have come close to a bond, if you will, with the Board of Forestry. At some point, if they say it's okay, let's try it. And finally, John touched on something that I think some of you have heard me say, the result of the composting stuff in Sonoma County is just, as somebody who functions in government, I'm ashamed of what we did. Government is given over to a collective body from the individual, because the individual cannot do these things. And everyone in the composting stuff played their part, did exactly what they were supposed to, but the reality of what we got out of that was to trade clean water for dirty air. When it's all said and done, we fail the public. As a governmental agency, we contributed to that. We did our part. And I'm not saying that we can fix it, but in looking at government, it's here for the welfare of the citizenry, and we failed. We are sending, 100,000 tons of green waste out of the county in a diesel-burning truck. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong there. I'm not saying that we can fix it here, just that it's something I'd like to look at. What do we do as government?
Fair enough.
Board Member Gustin.
Thank you. a lot of what I'm going to say is going to support what's already been said. One of the things for me that I'd like us to consider as we move forward and is when we talk about aquatic species, in particular fish, I'd like us to think about expanding our scope or our vision of anadromy. I know that the charismatic megafauna of salmon and steelhead are sexy and people like it, but Pacific lamprey, sturgeon, and euchelon, or the candlefish, were hugely important to native peoples and even Europeans as they moved in, and their numbers are such that they probably warrant listing along with the other species, but for political reasons they haven't been. So I wouldn't mind mentioning sturgeon or candlefish or lamprey every once in a while. I think we have an opportunity to expand our public's vision of what it is we're trying to achieve as well. I want to echo what I heard about working collaboratively with the Board of Forestry. I think using the word watershed over and over and over again, it becomes a buzzword that loses meaning after a while. I think it would be nice once in a while to reshape our wording so that people recognize that forests, both oak forests and coniferous forests on the North Coast, is the way we absorb our water. These forests, these trees, are catchment basins for this water that ultimately gets to the stream and that ultimately gets to all of the uses. So I think elevating the concept of forest and pulling it apart once in a while from watershed and making that link between growing and managing trees and the role they play in purifying and holding water as it relates to groundwater, as it relates to aquifer recharge, and as it relates to surface streams. I think there's an opportunity to work with the Board of Forestry to get serious about oak woodland stream zone protection. Right now, we know that conifer stream zones are protected under CEQA. Unless a county or a city has its own ordinance, oak stream zones are at risk. And we know from past experience, particularly down here with vineyard expansion and what we're seeing in the cannabis world, that we have a role to play there, and I think the Board of Forestry could join us on that discussion. And I'm not talking about regulations, but I'm talking about elevating the role of oak woodlands in riparian protection. Personally, I think if the North Coast region took on the grazing topic, I know we could do a better job than the state rolled out. Anybody could do a better job than the state rolled out. But I think we could, along the same lines of...
That's probably exactly the statement not to state in our strategic planning. No, I'm just joking.
But I think there's a chance for us to work with the Board of Forestry and their certified range management program. But I think we understand our constituency, and I think we have some allies that would work with us and come up with a thoughtful program that would... Bring the grazing community into compliance with water quality standards. And lastly, I wouldn't mind seeing us come out with a white paper or something, working title, planning for climate change for 2050. I think we need to get out in front it's happening. We know it's happening. We've got the data to support us. But in a strategic sense, how do we work with Fish and Game? How do we work with the Board of Forestry? How do we work with the State Board? You know, I just read something the other day at the rate of sea level rise for Humboldt Bay. I mean, it's astounding.
Yes.
And how much it's risen and what it's predicted to go by 2050. You know, talking about 2100, it's so abstract, most people can't think of it. But 2050 is within the realm of some people's lives. And it might go up eight. Well, it will. She's going to be around then. I hope you're all around. But my point being is that it's not that far. It's not that far off. And yet, I think we have an opportunity to bring together some of this information and package it in such a way to force people to look out in the future and recognize that the world is changing as we speak. And that's something I'd be willing to put some time in.
And I hope we can coordinate strategic planning with our global warming a study session, but I agree that a white paper would be exciting. It would be a great exercise of leadership, and especially if we followed it up with coordination with other agencies, could be a real contribution to the state of California.
Yeah, well, just on that, I mean, a reminder that, that you all approved the, and are trying to review the development of a climate change protection policy, which will be a basin plan amendment. So a white paper would be a draft work product that I think would come after our the workshop that we're planning on climate change.
But I don't want to, I'd love it if it became the work product for that, but I don't want to burden it. You know, sometimes we're a little cumbersome on a process. I think we can get a white paper out maybe even before that advises the basin
we
plan.
Can certainly
and my only concern is I just want to make sure we get a work product out in a reasonable before 2050. No, just joking.
Matt, the one thing I think I'd really like to see in that white paper or whatever we do, you and I start from the assumption that global warming is there, and too often we speak to groups that have yet to be convinced, and there is a lot of good information out there, good physical empirical data, the decline of the snowpack in the Sierras. I mean, it's the longest running snowpack survey in the country, and it has done nothing but go downhill for 110 years. That kind of information, it says, for those of you that are doubting Thomas here, check this out, the change of Humboldt Bay.
Right. And Humboldt Bay is also sinking from a geological standpoint, regardless of the weather change. So I think that's a good model, because mm-hmm. I don't think anyone can fight with the fact that it's subsiding.
But starting with really good
yeah.
empirical data that if you just even would like to think it's not happening, it's happening.
Well, thanks for giving me the chance to organize my thoughts a little bit more. But along the thread of climate change and then looking at the other strategic directions, I've only been around for a year, so I know that I don't fully understand the breadth of the way that we work as a board. But one thing that I notice in looking at these topics being flow, groundwater, habitat, climate change, the level of interconnectedness of these topics. And yet as a board, most of what we're able to discuss is very focused on discrete items that are finite and have boundaries around them and that don't necessarily lend themselves to discussing the interconnectedness of these issues that are all sort of coming to a head at the same time. So it seems like a strategic planning discussion might be a chance to get at a little bit more the way the boundaries of those topics sort of bleed together in a way that can't always be discussed in a hearing of a specific item.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. Having been around this board for a long time, I'm not sure we coherently put together those boundaries in the first place, and so I think it's a great observation.
So I think that would be great. And then the other thing that I thought of was I got to attend a session that between staff and partners and the Estuary Institute that talked about RIPZET and some of their other tools. It was like a couple weeks ago. And it struck me hearing about how Region 2, that sort of the level of technology adoption in Region 2 versus the level of adoption of those technologies in this region. And, you know, when it comes to talking about things like permit streamlining, I think that adopting technologies like EcoAtlas, where you're feeding information from the permitting system directly into a mapping program up front or something like that, it just seemed like there was a lot of opportunity there where the longer you wait to adopt that technology, the more backlog you have of information that's not in a new system. So I just think that might be interesting to touch on, and maybe that's already going on at a staff level, looking at those kind of how to adopt some of that technology.
Well, we are very fortunate to have Shinrei Lee joining our region, because she really was one of the champions working with Region 2 on the development of some of those data management tools, particularly EcoAtlas. And Shinrei is going to be going to Regional Board 6 board meeting in July, I believe it is, sharing her experience of using these type of tools. And so we, the North Coast region, is now benefiting from Shinrei's expertise, and we are now actually becoming the face of the use of these innovative tools statewide. So that's a really good thing. I appreciate your comment.
Hey, can I add one last thing, too? I think it's important for us to be honest, too, with ourselves and look at old wounds. I think that, you know, in the time that I've been here, you know, we have finally gotten to the elk, and that there are some things out there that have had dramatic effect to this agency. And I think we ought to be honest to ourselves about if there's that kind of thing out there, you know, freshwater is out there, too. I know it's on the priority list. It's out there. The elk is something that it seems like we're going to get by the elk. We're going to get our handles on that finally and move on. But that thing, for such a small watershed, has just kicked the crud out of us. And is there, I think we need an assessment, honest assessment as an agency to look at priorities, not always looking ahead, but also is there things that are left undone out here that are important to do? I think we've got some TMDLs out here that really have no action plan to them. And yeah, we put out a sediment work plan, but I don't hear the sediment work plan ever. And, you know, we've got some programmatic things that we could apply to that. We've got things that could maybe heal those wounds, but I think to be able to heal those wounds, I think we need just an honest discussion about what's in our rearview mirror that we left behind that we should go back and really kind of look at honestly on its face. I think as an honest look at it, I think that could be important. If there's nothing back there and we could just keep going without looking out the front view, great.
It seems like it could be useful to do some, towards the beginning of this strategic planning discussion, some type of retrospective look of our trying to review project lists and what we've done, where we've come over the last, you know, decade. I can pull together, you know, other work planning documents and kind of dust off the shelves. And
that's make sure,
good,
you know, we're being
suggestion.
Complete and honest, right? Yeah.
Any other comments? Well, if you could sort of collate these together and then I guess send it out to the board members, they can make comments back to you. I want to stay in confines of Bagley Keene, so we can't talk to each other, but we can say whether you think your summary captured our thoughts. Any other comments? Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really exciting. And one of the best things that I see where this board is at is we're not just in the treadmill of permits. We're not just in the treadmill, oh, are we going to keep enforcement? Are we in the treadmill of this state policy? We're actually trying to look ahead. And maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like we're in a position and we're looking further ahead than's ever happened. And I think that's what a board ought to do. And so I'm very, very pleased both with staff, you know, being comfortable enough with it and the board being comfortable enough with it.
Okay, very good. So, yeah, I'll do a synthesis of what I heard today, and then I'll have conversations with you separately about kind of the venue of how best to move forward.
Right. Although I tried to suggest I mean, it's obviously a public meeting. We got to notice it. But I wouldn't – I think Mendocino's beautiful place, fairly remote. It's got a lot of attractions.
So that sounds like then we'd be looking at an additional meeting that's not yet scheduled. And so I'm seeing nods that that's okay with you all to have an additional separate agendized meeting.
If we're going to get it done, we have to. You look at our – calendar. It's a very busy calendar, which again I think is a testimony to how much the board's working and staff's working to have all that on the calendar. But for us to get out of the fray, we need to just schedule it in.
Okay, sounds good.
But not December 25th. We discussed that would probably cut public attendance dramatically, but might also cut board attendance.
Yeah. And I heard clearly that you'd really like the management team to be part of this, and I fully support that.
Yes, and what I would do is pick at least two and no more than four. It was my recommendation. I mean, we don't want to.
Shinrei,
if you get too big, we're not
going
to be able to discuss. And so I realize that puts the pressure on you on who you choose. But I want it to be a board planning process, too. I don't want 50 staff. Not that we don't have the great staff, but it's just.
So just so I'm clear, do you mean 2 to 4 in addition to Shinrei and I?
Boy, you're really negotiating already.
Well, no, it's just, if it's 2, then it's just you got me and Shinrei.
Right. Well, we assume you're going to be there. Keep it relatively small. That's all
okay.
I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Don't.
All right.
As exciting, and actually, I'd really enjoy it with 12 staff. I don't think we'd get too much done, but
got it.
It
okay.
might be very.
No, that's
exciting.
Really helpful.
Well, here's a stupid question along those lines: do we bring a lawyer with us?
See, I don't know whether that's Mr. Noren very subtly asking me to step out of the process.
No, sir.
Right.
No.
I know.
No. I'm just joking with you.
I would advise bringing at least one of the lawyers to that meeting.
Yeah. We will take that under advisement.
Yeah. I mean, there is the old Groucho Marx songs that whatever it is, we're against it. You know, so we can always play that if we... refer to legal.
Matt, do we have any deaf and blind attorneys?
No.
No.
That's the one I want to bring.
No. All the attorneys for the North Coast are above average in intelligence.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that is the problem. Yeah. That is the problem.
We could request someone who's flunked the bar 10 times. No. My own advice is I probably would have an attorney there.
Yeah, sure.
I think you better.
Attorney and a keg of beer.
Yeah. All right.
Future items?
So I think we're done with this item. So the next executive officer report.